Thank you for that singing. Now, before we open the Bible together, let us pray. Our God and our Father, we are thankful this evening that we speak to the eternal God. We bless thee that we do not speak to a dead idol, but we speak to the very Creator of heaven and of earth. We thank thee, Father, for thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that we have a gospel to proclaim, and again we call upon thee that it would please thee to shine the light into some soul this evening, and that they would trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we just commend the evening to thee. Grant help and understanding and liberty by the Holy Spirit. We ask these things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now I'd like you to turn with me to the New Testament part of the Bible, to Luke's record of the Gospel and chapter 15. That is the third book in the New Testament. If you're not familiar with the layout of the Bible, it is broken up into two parts, mainly the Old Testament and the New Testament. The Old Testament is all about before the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world. Hundreds of prophecies written in the Old Testament, hundreds and thousands of years before Christ ever came, telling how he would come, where he would come, why he would come. And when we come to the New Testament, beginning with Matthew, we find there the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, just where the Old Testament said it would be, just where the prophets recorded it would be, in Bethlehem. And the reason why he came, to go to a cross and to lay down his life. And so that's all documented for us in the New Testament. What we're going to read tonight is what's termed in the scriptures here as a parable. And these are the very words spoken by the Lord Jesus himself. Let us begin our reading in verse 1 of Luke 15. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. These religious people, they're called the Pharisees and the scribes, they were the religious people of the day, and they're complaining that the Lord Jesus Christ is receiving sinners to himself and having to do with them. Let's read on. And he spoke this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which is lost until he find it? But when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. But when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. That's sufficient for our reading this evening. As I indicated last night, it's my intention, in the will of God, to go through this chapter in these 5 nights, Monday through to Friday. And we want to uncover something of this parable which the Lord Jesus was speaking. A parable is simply an earthly illustration, an earthly story with a spiritual meaning behind it. So really what we want to understand is the meaning behind this story. The Lord Jesus, he was speaking in a kind of indirect way, but in a very pointed way, really, to these people that were around him. You see, the people that were around the Lord Jesus Christ at this particular time were very religious people. And they thought that they could get to heaven, they could appease, they could please God and merit favor with God. In other words, they thought, like many people today, that at the end of time, when I come before God, he will balance the books, he will weigh things, and he will find out that really I've been a good person. And the good, well, I may have done a few bad things, but they will outweigh the bad things, and he will let me into heaven because of what I've done and what I am. I want to tell you from the beginning in this meeting this evening, the Bible teaches the very opposite. The lesson behind this parable that the Lord Jesus was teaching is that people who think themselves religious enough to gain heaven by their own merit will be lost, and will perish because of their sin. He speaks an earthly story just to illustrate, so that these people will understand the message. We want you to understand the message of the gospel, my friend. We're thankful to see you here in this meeting. We want you to be able to understand clearly what God wants you to know. The Lord Jesus here, he takes up a very simple illustration. He says, look, what man of you, if you had 100 sheep, I don't know whether there's any farmers in this meeting this evening, but we could apply this illustration even to our everyday life. If you had something which you valued and it was lost, what would you do? To what lengths would you go to see that valuable possession recovered? Even if that possession found itself in a place of no value to you, because when something's lost, you can't use it, can you? But you would go to lengths to see that possession restored so that it could be of use to you again. He's speaking this illustration to people around him. My friends, I don't know whether you've ever lost something in life and you've sought diligently to find it so that it could be of great value to you again. My wife, her mother, she was doing the gardening on one occasion. She had a little stone in her engagement ring. It wasn't a very little stone. It was the main stone in her engagement ring. And doing the gardening, she forgot to take the engagement ring off. And she finished the gardening that day. And she realized the stone, the main stone, the sapphire, was missing from the engagement ring. In the mud, in the dirt. What do you think she did? She went back to that dirt. And she sought diligently. That was of great value to her. It had been given to her, obviously, by her husband. It meant something to her. And she was not going to rest until she found that stone again. I want to tell you, my friends, the story behind this message. I want to tell you the spiritual meaning behind this illustration that the Lord Jesus was speaking. You're of great value to God. There is not a person in this world that God does not love as an individual. And I tell you in this meeting, my friend, God loves you more than your mother loves you. He loves you more than your father loves you. He loves you more than your wife or husband or partner loves you, or your siblings. God loves you as an individual. Humanity sees you just as one of the many, one of the crowd. I suggest tonight, my dear friends, that the Prime Minister of this country, though he may take up a census form, though he may take up the record books, and he may point to the fact that there are 4.5, something like that, million people in this country, I suggest that he knows nothing about you as an individual. But I tell you, there are 7 billion people in this world. And God knows you tonight as an individual. And God loves you as an individual. And God wants to rescue you from your sin. For he knows that your sin is taking you to this place down here, the lake of fire seen in the chart. Sin, my dear friend, the Bible tells us, it demands death, separation from God. But the gospel message is this, that God intervened in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ at the cross paid the price for sinners. And on the third day, he broke the very bonds of death and rose again, triumphing over death. And tonight we declare to you that Christ the Lord has power to free you from sin and to deliver you safely into paradise, to cleanse you of your sin that you might go onwards and upwards. And so the Lord Jesus is speaking this parable to these people. Maybe this is a revelation to you this evening. Maybe you thought you were good enough to get into heaven. Most people. You see, someone famous dies. Someone did just recently, didn't they? I don't have to mention any names, you know. You know what I read? I read this statement in the paper. He was the greatest man to ever live on planet Earth. Now, I'm quoting that verbatim. The greatest man to ever live on planet Earth. What do you think? I tell you, my dear friend, what God thinks. The greatest man to ever live on planet Earth would be a man who did no sin. The greatest man to live on planet Earth would be a man who had power over death. The greatest man on planet Earth would be a man who could rescue sinners from their sin. And I tell you, my friends, that's the person of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. 33 and a half years he lived here on planet Earth to go to Calvary's cross. The only person on planet Earth with the ability and power to lay down his life. You would see, if that man recently was the greatest man to live on planet Earth, why did he sin? Why did he so feebly succumb to death? Why is his body laid in the ground and he has no power over death whatsoever? When the Lord Jesus Christ lived on planet Earth and lived a sinless life, went to Calvary's cross and laid down his life voluntarily, took the judgment that sinners deserve, and having laid down his life voluntarily into death, on the third day he rose again. The mighty triumph over death. He's the omnipotent Son of God, my friends. This is who we preach to you in these meetings in Dunedin. We do not preach to you ourselves or another feeble person of earth who succumbed to the tragedy of sin and the weakness of death, whose body's laid in the ground. We preach to you Christ the Lord, who's the able Savior of sinners. And so the Lord Jesus Christ here, he's speaking this parable. He's indicating to these people of the value that God puts upon human life. My friend, this world puts no value upon human life. This world, do you know what's happened in America recently? Is there any value on human life in such a tragic situation? I tell you, as I read the news today and thought about those people that have gone out into eternity, 50 of those people in a moment going out to eternity. Yes, although they were reveling in their sin, I tell you, I thought of this, that God loved every one of them. And the last thing that God ever wanted is that they would go down to hell. I don't know if they died in their sins or if they were right with God. I can't say if they called upon the Lord Jesus. Maybe in the last moments of their life. But I know what the Bible says. That if you die in your sins, you cannot be in heaven. You cannot be where the Lord Jesus is. These people here that the Lord Jesus was speaking to, they thought they were good enough to merit heaven. Self-righteous people. God wants to take dealings with humble people. The Lord Jesus gives this illustration of a man going after his sheep. One sheep out of 100 that was lost, but it was valuable to the shepherd. My friend, this whole human race is lost in sin. But I am thankful this evening that we find in the scriptures, we find in the Bible, that God sent his Son into the world to be the Savior of the world. To be the Savior of sinners. This world, so tragically, under the influence and the tragedy of sin. Souls under the sentence of death because of sin. But thank God the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world to be the Savior of sinners. Listen to what the Bible says. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior this evening? Do you know what it is to say that you've been cleansed from your sin by trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ because of what he has accomplished here at Calvary's cross? Or tonight, are you still lost? I tell you, my friend, God is pursuing you in grace. It's no coincidence that you're in this hall. It's no coincidence that you're under the sound of the gospel message, that you might be saved. That you might hear of the love of God towards your soul. That you might hear of what God has done, intervening into this world, sending his Son to pay the price for sin. Christ Jesus overcoming death with power to save sinners from sin and death. Listen to this lovely parable that the Lord Jesus spoke. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. My friend, the very thing God wants you to do, the very thing God wants to do for you, is to save your soul from sin and death. He wants to save you from ever going down to hell. You know, before I got saved, I knew I was a sinner before God. I remember trying to make up all sorts of excuses as to what I would say to God when I met him. I would tell him things like, I never read the Bible. My friend, I knew I would meet God. And I knew that I was under the judgment of God. But I came to hear about the Lord Jesus Christ who gave his life that I might be saved. I came to hear of how the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came down from heaven to a cross that he might bear the judgment that I deserve as a sinner, and that God may rescue me from the plight of death and hell and the lake of fire, and grant unto me the gift of everlasting life if I would put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, if I would surrender to him. That's what this sheep did. The shepherd went out after the sheep to seek the sheep. He went until he found it, a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ coming down to planet Earth, going to Calvary's cross, all the way, and completing a work whereby we could be saved. But that sheep, when the shepherd found it, it made no resistance. It knew it was lost. Do you understand that you're lost in sin tonight and you cannot find your own way to heaven? Do you understand tonight that your religion will not suffice? Your good works cannot merit you favor with God? Do you understand that there is judgment for those who resist and who do not repent? If you do, just surrender to the Lord Jesus. This sheep, it didn't try to run away. It didn't struggle. It just surrendered to the shepherd, and the shepherd lifted it up and put it upon his shoulders. It's just a picture of a soul surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, repentance towards God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance towards God. You agree with God that you're a sinner and that He sent His Son to pay the price for you. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that He can save you and take you home to heaven. So the Lord Jesus, He says here, He laid this sheep on His shoulders rejoicing. I want to tell you, my dear friend, it will give God great pleasure tonight if you finally surrender to Him. Stop fighting. Stop resisting. Just surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. It will bring great pleasure to the heart of God. It tells me here that there is joy in heaven over one sinner that repents, more than 99 that need no repentance. That takes me back to another verse in this book, in chapter 6. It tells us in verse 32. It says there, chapter 5 rather, in verse 32, the Lord Jesus answering, He said, verse 31, they that are whole need not a physician. They that are well don't need a doctor, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. My friend, there are many people in this world who do not think they need to repent. They think that they can get to heaven in their own strength and by their own religious efforts. They'll find in the end that they'll perish. God is calling you this evening. He's calling you to turn in repentance and surrender to Him. Surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, and there will be joy and rejoicing. The shepherd, he picked up this sheep, he placed it upon his shoulders, and he carried it all the way home. And when he finally got home, he set this sheep down in the place of safety. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ saving a soul that will surrender to Him by faith and carrying that soul all the way home until finally in heaven He will set down that soul. I tell you, my friend, there have been millions down the centuries, who have trusted Christ, and they're safe in heaven now as we speak to you. There are some people in this hall, the speaker included, who have trusted Christ, and they're safe on the shoulders, being carried home to heaven. And we'll be safe all the way. But what a tragedy if you resisted the shepherd and you never knew what it was to be put on the safety of his shoulders, carried home to heaven, where there will be much rejoicing. What a tragedy if you thought that you don't need to repent, that you could get to heaven in your own strength or in your own religious works. No wonder the Lord Jesus Christ said these words when he first went out preaching in his public ministry: repent and believe the gospel.